G'day and welcome to The Draft Doctors. I'm Doss and this is the You Suck Show, where we reminisce on our worst calls for season 2019. We've got the whole crew on deck for this one and a lot to get through. Welcome firstly to you, Stevie Fizz.
Yeah, g'day Doss and boys and the listeners, of course. It's great to be here and this is my favourite show of the year. It's probably something we do that's a little bit different to everyone else. We actually turn the spotlight onto ourselves and turn our bad, horrendous calls into some hashtag content. And it's sort of in the vein of the godfather of fantasy sports, if you like, Matthew Berry. He always tries to one of his mantras is to own his mistakes. And I feel like that's something we do. And I think it's something that the fantasy, you know, content providers could do and probably could get better at, ourselves included. And I'm really happy and proud of this show. So I really hope it's exciting and I hope everyone enjoys it.
Oh, it's going to be a good show, Stevie. Don't worry about that. I did have the honour of editing this one, so there's plenty to get through. And Jono is joining us as well. G'day, Jono.
G'day, Doss. G'day, boys. G'day, listeners. Now, talking about You Suck, I have been away the last couple of weeks, and one thing I've noticed that sucks about this human race is people's ability to their personal hygiene. I've been doing a bit of travelling the last couple of weeks and stuck on planes. Now, if you're going to travel, make sure you have a shower and put some deodorant on, because no one wants to sit next to you after a long, hot, sweaty day and just smelling your body odour for an hour and a half on a plane. And then they have the audacity to fall asleep on you. I mean, Statesman, I know you sit at the pointy end of the plane and don't have these problems, but us in cattle class have to endure this every single time we fly. And frankly, you guys suck for all those people who don't have a shower before getting on a flight.
And what beautiful musk are you rocking on the plane there, Jono?
I've got my Rexona deodorant, antiperspirant deodorant, and some cologne. I can't remember what it is. My wife bought me the cologne, so I don't know what it is, but she likes the smell of it, so.
Delicious. And Cam, you're here as well. G'day, Cam.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I'm a little nervous for this one based on some of the earlier year calls, but I can say, thankfully, I did not retire anyone a la Jono Crockett last year. Still Rioli for those playing at home.
You've moved over from the judge's seat into the panel this year, so you've got a lot to get through today. And Statesman joins us as well, the full crew on deck. G'day, Stato.
Yes, g'day, gentlemen. I don't want to get too sounding board on us all, but just obviously content is king, and this is the type of show that you want the content to be spread amongst all the panellists. So just a little trade secret, obviously very broad and big calls that I make throughout the year, most of them, and of course almost all of them, are correct. So Dossie's had to get me to actually do a few little takeouts, a few little shit takes just this week to make sure the show sounds pretty good.
Completely untrue. But before we do get into the worst calls, let's take a look at each of our better preseason calls and some other memorable moments from throughout the year. And we'll start, I reckon, with Stato.
Good evening, gentlemen. Now, I will say this is a bit of a hot take because he's a player that I've been a huge fan of, not only watching football, but in fantasy football for a long, long time. But there's always a moment in someone's career where you've got to start thinking in the next phase. And the person I'm talking about is Kate Simpson. So with the alignments of positions, I can see that Cade is probably going to be in a situation from his 2018 scoring rolling into 2019, about the third or fourth highest averaging defender. I probably see his downturn to be like it was in 2013, which was after a three-year decline, averaging around the 85 mark. Now, Cade Simpson, with the name brand and also the fact that he's from last year's scoring, still in that top five region of defenders, I see him going in the third or fourth round. But in reality, I'm predicting his scoring will actually drop to a a D3 or possibly a D4. And yes, I know all the songs because I'm hip to it. I'm down with it. Harry Perryman of the Greater Western Sydney. He does play midfield in the NEAFL, and this is the key to this. If you're developing a player and you see him as a defender, you're playing him as a defender in the twos. But since day one, this man as an 18-year-old started his actual career at the AFL as a midfielder in the NEAFL. And it was only his seventh game is where he racked up his first 40 possession game. Mate, Toby Green is a gun!
Stato, a few very nice highlights there for you. We shall move straight on to Jono Crockett.
Final boy, it's another South Australian, that is Travis Boak, listed as a DPP mid-forward, average 88 Supercoach and AFL Fantasy last year. So where that fell, he was the 24th forward in Supercoach and the 15th forward in AFL Fantasy. So F2, F3 in that range, but one thing I've noticed, if he gets the mid-time with Wines out this year, that means he's going to get points boost, you would think. So that's going to put him up into an F1, F2 bracket.
You don't have Witherden in your top 30?
Nope.
Get the fuck off this show, Joe.
Wow. I'm crazy. Everyone's talking about him now. Apparently he sits at seventh. He's my seventh defender.
Jonathan.
All right, my last sleeper is Rowan Marshall from the St Kilda Football Club.
Wow.
201-centimetre forward who can pinch hit in the ruck. And with the Saints getting rid of Tom Hickey, that only leaves Billy Longer and Lewis Pearce there. So it's going to be Billy Longer who, yeah, he's not the greatest ruckman going around. He's probably, and he will certainly not be playing 100% of the game in that ruck. So there is a good score build there for Mr. Rowan Marshall. We know Hamish Harlett is not the best user of the footy, so coming out of defence, probably not his wheelbag, but kicking it inside forward 50 when you've got Jack Watts and Charlie Dixon floating around, that might be his wheelbag there. And
his I'm what? Looking at Did you say his wheelbag?
Isn't that the term?
Wheelhouse?
I thought it was wheelbag. My second burn man is the one and only Lance Buddy Franklin. He will be 32 in January and coming off another 100 averaging year in 2018. I just can't see him backing it up.
Some ripper calls there, Jono.
Rowan
Marshall. The lads.
Wow.
Yeah, I forgot all about the Rowan Marshall one, and I didn't pick him up in any of my drafts, so thanks for bringing that up.
Trav Boak as well, I know you were pretty high on him, and it's good
I was
to see
pretty high on Boak.
I should have listened to you.
All right, now I know a lot of the fans are keen to hear some of Cam's bad takes, but here are his good ones.
To segue on that Jared Lyons bit, he's not just outside my top 30, but someone is going to get a very nice present, I think, very late in the draft with Jared Lyons. I think he's going to be massive next year, but you couldn't take him early.
Can we talk about the real trade that had the biggest impact so far in the entire trade period? KFC popcorn chicken getting hot and spicy. It's gone from original to hot and spicy. Get around it. Hashtag sponsor. Braden Prius will probably not be in any draft teams next year unless there's an injury to Max Gorn, and then he becomes a little bit relevant. And I think it's a really strange strategic decision. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You're basically losing a lot, potentially a whole nother resource that you could deploy elsewhere on the field. And I think they're going to find that out pretty early. They'll trial the two together at the start of the season, and my gut feel is that Prius will drop to the VFL within the first couple of weeks, and Gorn will probably go back to being the solo. Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo, which is my dog, he's destroyed another pair of Havaianas.
Cam, who have you got there for your last burn man?
Bryce Gibbs. I'm a little bit worried about him next season. It's a little bit of a mix of a gut feel, pure stats, and a bit of information we need to wait and see play out. But basically,
He still pumped out pretty fantasy-friendly numbers, finishing on an average of 103 AFL Fantasy and 96.5 Supercoach, but I think this is where some people are going to get burned. After four straight losses, Gibbs saw a tweak in role, which saw him spend more time in the forward 50 playing as a pressure forward. And it wasn't for full games, but it was definitely long stints. The first game they tried this, the Crows actually knocked off the future premiers in the Eagles. Right, so they've made a tweak, it's been successful, and it's not a good tweak for his fantasy scoring output.
Can you rehash what your dog's name is again there, Cam?
It is Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
Good name. But it's Braden Pruce, not Prius.
I was going to say, I remember that. That's from The Simpsons, and he goes, worst name ever. But that was before Doss had used the term G-dubs.
Well, speaking of the man who created G-dubs, let's hear my highlights from early in the year. Is Caleb Daniel eligible as a forward this year, or did that change?
So I think he is, based on this list. I could be not, completely
not
wrong.
Not tempting at all with you guys?
I don't know if he's best 22 anymore.
Caleb Daniel, really?
Yeah, I really like Caleb
I think
Daniel.
His elite disposal will be greatly effective in the new setups where he doesn't have to worry too much about, you know, the mismatches. I think he'll be great. Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'll start that again.
No, don't. Just leave that in. That's fine. That's the best start we've had.
This story is called Bailey the Bulldog.
I'm so excited about this, by the way.
Once upon a time, there lived a bulldog named Bailey, who was king of the kennel and played in the yard daily. He lived on a farm with acres of space, but he was stuck way down back, well out of place. All that Bailey wanted was the freedom to roam, but Farmer Beveridge said, "No, you must stay at home." The kennel was crowded. There were lots of bulldogs, but Bailey was great. All the others were flogs. Now, Dossie's dilemma, it is a serious real-life dilemma, this one. So, I've got a nephew on the way, and I've got to have these... You got to have the injections now before you meet the kids. So, you got to have the flu and the whooping cough shot. Now, guys, I got a confession to make. I am the David Zaharakis of the Draft Doctors podcast.
Oh.
Cannot handle a needle. Oh. And... I'm in strife. Do I cop the needle, or do I just wait till he's 2 or 3 years old before meeting the baby?
No. Let me get in because I know what's the problem. He's not afraid of needles. He's an anti-vaxxer.
The go home factor at G Dubs as well. It's not fully gone there.
What
are they going to have to
G Dubs?
What G Dubs?
The G Dubs.
Yeah.
What's that?
Really? Is that not a thing? Surely. Had to sneak in the cheeky G-dubs at the end there, boys.
No doubt, still but got my one. Little worry of your highlights was there was no good tips for anyone.
Well, Stato, if you don't recall, I actually joined late in the preseason last year, so there wasn't really a chance for me to blossom as I'm about to this preseason. So next year, there'll be plenty of more on the highlight reel next year. But Stevie, he's got a bit of a highlight reel for this one.
Someone who I really like is Tim Tarano, and I think losing the forward status is going to be really interesting. I think he's going to be one of those game changer picks. If he plays good, there's a chance he'll get to come up to Ballarat next week and drop by Ararat, the superior rat. I think Rory Laird's going to have a big drop next year. I don't think he's going to repeat that 107.
Is that Brody?
Yeah, part of it, and also Malira. Like, they've got some more options down at halfback. Plus, I also think what he did through the first half of this year, I think it's really unsustainable and really outlierish. My former team that I supported, the Collingwood Magpies, that's right, I'm now a lifelong Gold Coast Suns supporter. And my first burn man is Justin Westhoff. Pretty easy. We've spoken about him a little bit previously, I think. I wanted to talk about death because we had this kangaroo that was basically needed to be put out of its misery. It was absolutely rooted, lying on the ground, just struggling away. So I had to call out the cops to come out and shoot it. And the cops come out, and this guy's like 6 foot, like 6 foot three, 3 inches bigger than me, built like a tank, carrying a rifle. And he just starts repeatedly big fellering me. Oh, you going, big fella, we've got to get this taken care of, big fella. I'm looking and going, mate, I'm not the big fella. Yeah, and Mrs. Fizz is actually away for the next 5 nights, so I'm looking forward to a bit of quality time with the trophy. Don't worry about that. Stace, we're running over time. I don't have time for this bullshit. Yeah, and my boy, Mason Redmond.
I do.
40% owned.
Oh, get it out. Get it out.
Is that his name, Mason Redmond? He's my boy. And Billie Jean is a terrible song, right? Like, the music and everything's good, but the lyrics are written by, like, a 12-year-old. Like, Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just the girl who claims that I am the one, but the kid is not my son. Is that a hit pop song or an episode of Maury Povich?
Alrighty, lads. We've got through all our good and funny-ish calls throughout the preseason and throughout the year itself. Now it's time to get onto the You Suck part of the show. And this is all our worst calls. It is from entirely from the preseason. Some of the highlights there were taken throughout the entire year, but these calls are entirely from the preseason. Statesman, you've got the honour of kicking this off.
The Swans are now going through some changes. Obviously, with Dan Hand gone and also Newman, who was in the midfield mix this year, they are looking for some people to step up in that revamped midfield. The best man to be added to their midfield will be Callum Mills. So expect him to be a 85-90 averaging defender as a treat. F2 at the cost of an, should I say D2, for the cost of a D5. If you suggest that others will get the role, just remember that Sydney did not trade to replace Dan Hand or Newman. They traded for halfback flankers in Ryan Clark and Jackson Thurlow. So they've gone for that, okay, we're going to replace and square up defence. And that means that the class of Callum Mills can actually hop into that midfield group. I'm being quite conservative with the 85-90, and we're only talking about a 15-point step up, but I think it could actually be quite large, to be honest.
Now, we'll say, I'm right, horses wrong on this one. How did Ryan Clark end up being a forward pocket player and then Thurlow end up being a wingman? That just doesn't make sense. And they've still got a problem with the midfield.
Yeah, I actually think this is more it wasn't a bad process. Like, you look at the injuries they had down back, they needed him there.
Oh, and
mark it down, though, guys. We are 15 minutes in and Steve has said that it wasn't a bad process. I thought it was going to come later, to be honest.
I will say as well, they had some injuries in defence. So he ended up playing key back, so he didn't even get a good defensive fantasy game, especially at the end of the year. I think he even pumped out some 30s. So nowhere near that 85 to 90 conservative average.
He wasn't too bad for Supercoach, I will say, because of that key defensive role.
I think he got a 2-point bump. He got a 2-point bump or something in Supercoach, that is. And a 0.9-point bump in AFL Fantasy. Woo-hoo! Not quite that 15-point bump.
He was up, Doss.
But is it going to take just one rig shot of him pumping the ropes in preseason to get you amped up for another run next year, Stato?
I will cautiously keep him in my keepers, hoping. I don't think I'll make the big call until I see what's happening. But look, so they need to change the midfield still. And does the two pickups, Gray and Lewis, indicate that it actually might be our two little forwards in Heaney and Paps?
Interesting take. All right, Jono, you're up.
And I think it's different to what Ablett will play this year.
What, midfield? He's playing midfield, and I don't care what Brad Scott and Chris Scott have said and Ablett have said, he's playing midfield.
Coach Jono, because in with the...
What is one thing Ablett can't do?
Run backwards.
Tackle. Run backwards and tackle. Ooh. And what's one thing Luke Delhouse can do? He can run backwards and tackle.
Mm.
And that is why the Bulldogs punted him to Geelong, is so they can have forward pressure. Ablett will line up for the first however long it takes to bounce a ball in AFL football, what, 12 seconds, if that, 3 seconds, he will run from that 50 line into the midfield and he will play midfield.
We are talking our black bookers today, those players who we think might get a bit of a bump, whether it's a trade, a role change, or anything in between. And I'm going to kick it off with Trent Dumont, who is quickly becoming my boy.
Your boy!
Trent Dumont!
Let's wrap that up. It's wow. Alex Keith and Trent Dumont, the official two boys of wow. Jono Crockett.
Well, it's better than Dom Tyson. I mean, Jesus.
I've squeezed a couple into these ones, all within a sort of time limit here, but I've squeezed a couple in where I'm wow. able to. So if you do hear a couple in a row, that's what's happening there. But what about the process on this one,
Steve? Yeah, I was going to say.
Wait. Hang on. Wait, wasn't Dumont was actually really good for like the first half, wasn't he?
I can't remember.
He was smashing it.
I thought he ended on an average of like 95.
He averaged 83.8 Supercoach points.
Yeah, I think his first half was pretty hot, though, I thought. 100, 300s in a row, 67, 100, 99. I don't know, man. I know it faded away, but he started pretty good, at least.
But my boy.
He's my boy.
It was more than my boy fact, to be honest.
Just hang on, Dossie, because you didn't obviously search too hard, because I gave you the show where I gave you Jordan Dawson, and you still haven't found it.
It doesn't exist, Stevie.
But the process on Ablett, actually, that argument makes sense. The issue being is absolutely everyone said he was going to do what he actually did, Jono, and you just didn't believe them. But we know there's a lot of lying in footy.
And that's Chris Scott's fault, not my process.
But I'm glad you brought Dalhouse up.
All right, we'll get on to Cam and his first bad call here.
So this is my first Black Booker show, but I've gone for a bit of a theme. I've gone for 26-year-olds likely to move to the Gold Coast for more mid-time.
For the AFL, then.
Both my picks. So George Hall and Smith is my first one. So as a Cats fan, I'm big on George Hall and Smith. He cops a lot of... He's probably one of the more unlucky players in the AFL. He's been a victim of too much quality at the Cats. But, I mean, the main things that I like, he's 26... So he's the right age for me. He can either break out or he can die off into the night, and I'm banking it on him to break out. He's an inside mid, finds his own ball, dishes it off confidently, and he likes kicking, so that's brilliant. Should be a guaranteed start at the Suns. Guaranteed start at the Suns. Guaranteed start at the Suns. he's one after the siren this year to clinch the game for the Cats. Right, so George Hall and Smith to the Gold Coast. So I'm going to stand by it. I'm not going to run through his holistic stats because I have already, you know, said that he's one to watch for next year, and we've run through main parts of the stats. So this year he played 4 games for the Cats. Of those 4 games, he played as a midfielder once. He went huge. So he got 123 Dream Team and 120 Supercoach. He was the top fantasy scorer for the Cats during that game. He racked up 43 disposals. In that as well. Kicked 2 goals, 7 tackles. Like, massive game for anyone's standards, right? That, for me, is why I'm so excited. Because I think he has tremendous upside, but he hasn't had the opportunity to display it at the elite level. And I really think that, you know, the Suns have actually been watching him for 3 years. You don't look at a guy for 3 years, and then when you finally land him, play him as a, you know, in the kneeful. They have a spot for him, and I think it's probably where I think he'll play, which will be in the inside mid. And to me, that is enough for me to say wait and see for next year. Yeah, this one actually was a really easy pick. George Hall and Smith, GHS from the GCS. He is, look.
Shit.
There is very little.
Did he triple down?
I can't believe I tripled down. I knew I doubled down. The triple is it hot in here?
I think it's amazing. Woo. I think it's amazing you've gone forward to the 2020 You Suck show and dished up your Hugh Greenwood takes. That's amazing.
Yeah, Yes, we had to give the fans what they wanted. Multiple George Haaland Smith takes. But Steve, like, you actually messaged me a few times during the week about how you guys or how the show reacted to the Haaland Smith calls, and obviously hoping for that disastrous, dank response that you thought we might give. But there was one response that I found that sort of shocked me a little.
Yeah, I don't mind GHS. I sort of had my eye on him a couple of years ago before they brought Dangerfield across. Like, I see the same things, the inside traits.
Sorry, Stevie, could you... Yeah,
pretty short cut right there, wasn't it? I don't mind GHS. I sort of...
Hey, but look what he said about Jesse Hogan a few years ago. It's his boy.
But I was cagey, Doss. I was cagey.
All right, on to me. And my other hot take, Doss Corns, Jaden Short, I have him up at 12. He was way down for you guys. Jaden Short at the Richmond Footy Club, 82.5 in his last 12 games. And I know Bashahuli's coming back. Bashahuli's the point that you're going to make, Cam. I see you coming in. But he took 54% of the kick-ins for the Tigers, 23 years old. And I just think even if Richmond now become this team that chip it around a little bit more with the new setups going on, I just feel like Short's going to come in as a really valuable defender. Well, then I'll quickly do my last one. Jack Higgins, he's been scoring really well. I think he's going to be a nice late pick. And with confidence now, you can go, I think, 80 to 85 this year. I think it'll happen. Process was fine though, Stevie, right?
I'm sure it was fine. I think Short's are probably the best, one of the better keeper buy lows you'll find. Don't know about Higgins, but...
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that was injury affected, but 80 to 85.
Well, you took
still...
two injury players. Like, this shit takes, Doss. That's
I told you, I didn't take any huge takes in the preseason last year. It was all my crappy waiver wire pickup options like your Paddy Dows throughout the year that really made it my you suck content. But maybe next year. Now, Steve, on to you.
Yeah, so just remove all vowels because it is Francis season. And that is season with a Z. Like, they've got a number of key tall forward options, obviously, in North Melbourne. So, you know, Brad Scott knows what he's doing. I will say there's a guy, like, I like Tex Walker. I think he's super unders.
Yeah, he's a machine. I've been drafting JJK freaking everywhere because he's going super late. I think he's my F3 in my home league. Got him last night. Pretty happy about that. Very happy with the JJK.
I've got Tommy Mack as my F7 in front of Buddy Franklin.
Wow.
So, Tommy Mack, the only super coach player to crack the 70 mark out of those four players there. Stevie, out of your boy Aaron Francis, Tex, JJK, and Tommy Mack. Defend yourself.
Was Tommy Mack actually worse than Buddy? Because, I mean, you could just lose Tommy Mack at some point. Like, you could drop him. Like, that was fine.
It's a good point. Did Tommy Mack just raise his average?
Aaron Francis didn't cost you jack shit. And neither did JJK.
And neither would Tex to an extent as well.
Yeah, Tex, none of those players cost you anything.
But they cost you if you did draft them at F3, because there would have been someone much better.
No, because why would you draft a forward, like your third forward, before like round 16?
But there still would have been someone better available.
Like, they're bad calls. Tommy Mack was the big... Tommy Mack was a huge whiff. I can't even defend it.
I was questioning it my pre-season, but you guys, both you and Jono, it wasn't just you, Steve. You were both very strong on him.
I was huge on him.
I was on the key forward train, so he was part of it.
Yeah, we really did go down the key forward train in a big way, and that was bad process in the end. I think we took a line. It didn't work out. And again, I was really strong on Tom McDonald being the focus of the forward line. I think Cam brought up in the preseason that he will struggle with the number one defender, and he clearly did. So, you know, eggs on my face.
What do you reckon?
Some Tom McDonald cum. I don't know. That's probably bad.
All right. Before we get to part two and our second lot of bad takes, we're going to go through a favorite iTunes review from the year.
Well, this is from Go Balls Deep. He says, love the show, guys. Great insight and banter. But if he hears any more George Holland Smith mentioned as an option again, he's done. He's out. So
lighten the man.
Yep. If you're coming to Dream Team Talk, hit us up tonight and maybe hit Cam. But... Steve, I think you put this one up on the Twitters, and that's from Andrew Music and Footy. He says, in adding HK DOS to the pod, the Draft Doctors are having a breakout season. DOS's dulcet tones are music to the ears after years of Jono putting me into a monotonous slumber for many episodes. I am torn about the 140 bet because Steve gives the GOAT advice. However, the pod deserves the recognition. A nod to Statesman 2 as his advice is always on point. Cam is a genuine spud. Where did you find this guy? Fortunately, he and Jono both provide an amazing source of banter, even if it is often at their expense. Thanks, guys. And the last one.
That's got to do.
Just one. This one as well. It's from Scratch the Titch. I signed up an iTunes account just so I could give a 5-star review in support of the boys in their quest for hashtag 140 reviews by round one. Love the pod and love the banter between the dulcet DOS, jovial Jono, surely Steve, silky statesman and complimentary cartons Cam.
Just a few reviews there, and they were all came, I think, early in the preseason there as well.
And just thanks everyone for the reviews and the love on the socials and everything absolutely. Like that. It really means a lot, and you know, this wouldn't be anything special without the listeners and the followers.
For sure, thank you very much, everyone. And Statesman, you're up.
Geelong.
I think Whitfield is someone who's susceptible Ooh. To a really good tag, and I think we're going to see more 50s and 60s out of Whitfield this year, purely and simply because Dylan Shiel isn't there to take away that defensive pressure. There's one other one you've missed out too that I just clearly have in the top 20, and I've ranked him as number 13, and that's Blake Akers for massive breakout this year. There's one guarantee that Sam Jacobs, I know he's not going to be elite, he's never given us 100 plus, but he's given 3 years in the 90s. He's definitely a secure, solid ruckman, and I think he needs to remain in the top five here.
Oh, shit call on Whitfield. He would have to be the best defender, and especially in the first 11, 12 weeks before he got injured. That's a shit call. But I will say I was surprised he didn't get attention. But, yeah, he's just too good. And the other two, I think, are just 12 months too early. So look for 90s off them both next year. But I haven't put sauce in me bloody hashtag off-brands team, and that burnt me being injured round two. But anyway, but Whitfield, shit call.
Whitfield's lowest score in AFL fantasy was 95, apart from the two injury affected games. He had a 39 and a something else.
Well, there you go. He had a 39. That's all we need to say, boss.
No 50s.
He also had 190.
All right, Jono.
Righto, the player I'm going to talk about is Mr. Scott Dependlebury. I see him having a fall of grace this year at the Collingwood Footy Club. As we know, Dane Beams was added to that midfield group. The way I see it, Pendlebury, we saw Nathan Buckley use Pendlebury in that role dependent, where he either sitting down there in the back line as a playing a role there, or he's pushing up forward, trying to take a contested mark and kick goals. That's where I see him this year. We know he's got great marking abilities, great time and awareness. It's like he's got an extra few seconds on his opponents. So He went as an ADP of 25 this year, so that's a second round pick, and averaged just over, tick over 100 in both formats this year. But I can see a 5 to 8 point points dropping if he is played as that lockdown defender, or someone as a sweeper in that back line, or as that forward as well, because they've got some talent in that midfield. You've got Adams, Treloar, Beams, Sear coming through, and Phillips. They all can't play in that midfield group, so I just think Pendlebury's got that versatility to play anywhere around the ground, and he's the one who's going to lose the points, and I certainly won't be taking him in the second or third round. I'll just be holding back on him and let someone else take him. My first treat is the one and the only smoking Jesse Hogan.
I was certainly smoking something on Jesse Hogan, that's for sure.
But that's probably a great example of good process, you'd have to say, with the Scott Pendlebury. And I think at the moment with Collingwood next year, you almost go through a similar process and wonder who's going to be sacrificing the points next year as well, Jono.
Well, it depends on Dane Beams. Like, he's starting to get the old man grumbly injuries and the soft tissues and that. So how long will his body hold up? And again, he is the Pendlebury, and why would they change it?
Well, I'm not sure that's right. Like, I don't know that you could predict it, but they move Sidebottom from an inside role the season prior to an outside role. Now, I'm not sure that's good or bad, but it's a miss.
Oh, big miss, yeah. And Jesse Hogan. Whew.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Cam, you're up.
Oh, fuck.
Who have you got there for your first burn man there, Cam?
So I've got Jack Crisp. So Crisp, in general, is a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde situation. I think owners this year would have felt that, where he sort of mixes those 110s up with 50s and 60s. And generally speaking, I'd take that every day of the week for my D3 to D5. I'm all about high risk, high reward. That's my jam. But I think this year coming up, there's a couple of reasons why he might be more Jekyll than Hyde. Everyone's talking about the impact of Dane Beams arriving in the Collingwood midfield and the scoring output of people like Saidy, if Sear's going to even get a game, you know, all those sorts of questions. But Jack Crisp is this guy who plays defence and pinch hits in the midfield. And I actually think he's the person, or he's one of the people that's going to be affected most by Beams coming in. He should see less rotation through the midfield and play more permanently in defence. And unfortunately, when he does that, you know, history tells us that that's when those Jekyll games come out and he starts to score, you know, quite low. He plays a sort of marking defender and doesn't run at all through the midfield. I don't think, you know, he's been quite consistent from a defender's perspective over the last 4 years, but I'm actually predicting him to go somewhere in the area of 79 AFL fantasy points, which... Ooh. Would be his lowest score in 4 years.
The handsome Tom for average wise. What do you think? What do you think he's going to do?
Because he's so handsome, it's going to be probably 90 in AFL fantasy. I think he'll go. He was trending up before this year,
and 90 in AFL fantasy.
Yeah, I think he's gonna go well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big call, and then I reckon he's probably going to go maybe 95. So for me, the Bont. You look at Libba coming back, and you look at Dunkley emerging. You look at McLean emerging. You look at
McLean.
I see a world where Bont plays almost exclusively as a half forward.
No,
I know, ooh. I know, but I reckon he'll have stints through the mid, and he'll play a very similar role to what he did last year, playing that swingman forward. And I'm happy to be proven wrong on that one. I'm probably not going to be though.
So much to take in there. Where to start?
Can I say between Cam and I, we should never select defenders.
Jack Crisp, the D4 by total points, the D2 in AFL fantasy.
Second half of the year, Tom Lynch remains far off though.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Tom Lynch came good. Like, he started to play pretty well, and Statesman, you were saying maybe next year will be a little bit better for him, but
pre-season,
yeah, bit far off the money on the Bont. That one was one that I completely forgot about, and Sorry about that one.
I just love the smugness. I had to keep it in there for that. It's like, oh, I probably won't be proven wrong, though. Yeah. All right. We'll get on to my bad call.
Just one.
Well, I'm coming in for my my DOS Corns nomination for the week. I've got Bailey Williams at number 9 in my rankings. So, I have a feeling he's going ham this year. He's only 20, 21 years old, coming in for this big season. And if you didn't have a look, those last games before he got injured, he was actually another guy that was running through the midfield and looked phenomenal. I just remember the game that he played in that last game. Oh, he was sensational. Kicked a snag, just did a spin move. I was like, all around it. Anyway, I have him at number 9. He was consistent throughout the year too, close to 80 in the first half, over 80 in the second half. And I feel like he's ready for that next step forward. I know the issue is what Statesman's already gone through. How many people do you need? But I think class will go to the top, and I think Bailey Williams is ready.
I know no one wins, you suck, but I think you just won there, Dossie.
See, you love the spin move, though, don't you? Like, I don't know, like in our group chat, Doss posts a spin move from Paddy Dow at least once a week. I swear, like, you just get hype on those spin moves.
Great move. Marlon Pickett got me excited in the granny. Don't you worry about that.
Of course. He's too old.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But once again, I mean, Stevie, you probably shouldn't have given me the edit because there's someone else who really liked Bailey Williams this preseason as well.
And you've got probably Bailey Williams coming back into that side. You know, he missed most of the second half of last year. John, I thought he was pretty good. Bailey Williams, pretty good. I'm just going to go to the rankings. Where did I have Bailey Williams?
Unranked?
No, I had him. 26. Which is lower than you, Jono.
Okay. Yeah, so, I think I had him in the team.
Not a D1.
Top 10 for 2020, no doubt. All right, Stevie, you're up. Yeah.
Okay. Cade Simpson, none of those things. He just rolls out 20 games like clockwork, possible kick-in bump, 95 average basically every year. I find it really hard to see him sliding, so I just think he's a really safe pick on that 2-3 wrap. Nick Newman, I know there's a bit of hype, came in. I find it really hard to believe that he causes Cade Simpson to fall off a cliff because I've seen Nick Newman play before, and I've also seen Cade Simpson average over 100 with a 110-plus averaging Sam Doherty in the team. So I'm pretty comfortable that Cade Simpson's going to be sort of a top 7 defender at the very worst. Well, I put my money where my mouth was in my home league, and I took and it was a pretty hot move. Actually, Jono, you may or may not remember, I took Whitfield in the second round, and took Cade Simpson in the third round because I'm like, this is just money in the bank. And yeah, no, totally fucked up. Bad process.
Got a good win in the second round though.
Yeah, look, and that's you know, it was a good draft for me in my home league, but Cade Simpson was a huge whiff, and it really impacted
the next couple of rounds for you, didn't it?
Oh, well, I think my next few rounds were like, oh, look, things really worked out for me because I got like Pendles and Dunkley and all that sort of thing. So it really worked out. But a player I was really high on was Daniel Rich, and it sort of meant that I couldn't get Daniel Rich based on team structure. So it was a big L, and I'm pretty happy to wear it. It was bad process. They brought in a halfback flanker in Newman, kept Thomas, and you know, probably didn't play that same style of footy. So no, I'll wear the L on that, and that's fine.
Did you hold him over the season though? Because I mean, did he came home pretty strong, didn't he?
Yeah, it's actually funny, Doss, you say that, because there was a over the bye rounds, I was, because we play a sort of weird structure in our home league where top two get the first 2 weeks off, and it's a top six out of 10. And I dropped him over the byes trying to get L's, didn't waiver for him, and no one picked him up.
Wow.
And I ended up picking him up, and he was actually really good over some of the stretch runs. So yeah, it kind of worked out in the end, but not because it was a good pick. It was just, you know, he was a good defender at the time who had a good run at the end.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the You Suck portion of the You Suck show. We're going to get to some questions now from social media, and I'll hand it over to Stevie Fizz to go through those questions from the fans.
Yeah, and look, there was a lot, and thanks to everyone who got in touch on the socials. We put a listener league spot up for grabs. I know there's a little bit of conjecture about what we should do, and maybe we can group chat it out, not you, Cam, as to who gets a listener league spot. So starting off with the Facebook, Stuart Ward asks, what's more demoralizing to Doss's sensitive constitution, his all soy diet or Bailey Williams running the ones?
Look, he re-signed for another year there as well, didn't he? And the sight of ones football is... What is Bailey Williams... Why did he re-sign, for starters? Because there would have been...
Was it only one year?
They offered him a contract, mate.
Yeah.
And it was the only club.
No, and if it's got 1 year, it's Bailey. Generally not a good sign, mate.
He'll be right. He's still very young.
21-year-old getting a one-year contract offer.
But look, Dossie, actually a question about the all-soy diet. What's the protein content? If we're tuning up for the rig off, what's going on with the soy protein content?
Look, I'm pretty confident with the rig, and in fact, very, very confident. And, you know, I'll be hitting the gym a bit, and... looking at some of the figures I've got in front of me, I think I'll be right.
Not all women love the waif.
That's
all I'm going to say.
I'm actually a bit worried about the Stato with his constant no sugar and no thing. I'm wondering if he's got a bit of a Callum Mills, Isaac Heaney rig going on under there.
Mate, it's easier to cut than it is to put on. Don't worry about that. It's easier to cut fat than put on muscle. Don't worry about that. A lot of muscle under these rolls. Scott Warwick, one of our longtime friends, asks, he's ready to go in and gives us the old Ace Ventura gif. Scott, look, there's a lot of quality, so that's not going to cut it. Brennan, our man, he's raising funds for something. He's doing a run across the Victorian Alps. We've tweeted it out on the Facebook and the Twitter and all that sort of thing. So if you want to get along and support him, he's doing a big run. I would encourage you, shun away from supporting these AFL, you know,
November
floozies, let's say. Let's say floozies. Shun away from them and go to our man Brennan and his insane run across the Alps for 160 kilometres, the old ultra. Good for him. But he sent us a good meme. It's Kane Corns tweeted out during the week. It's a photo of him shirtless with his three sons. And Kane Corns is, of course, Doss. And the three sons are Bailey Williams, Braden Fiorini, not best 22. And Paddy. Actually, it's probably just the not best 22 sons. Paddy Dow. So.
Look, Stevie's going hard on the Fiorini not best 22, and I just want you to put it on the record on this pod so we can, you know, cut, copy, paste it into the next You Suck. Say he's not best 22, and don't say it wouldn't shock me. Do it. I dare you.
Look, Doss, I'm cagey about his...
Him being in the best 22 is part of the wide range of outcomes.
The variance of outcomes. And the process.
Look, it's hard for me to be derogatory to a member of our Gold Coast Suns, Doss. That's all I can say. I'm a lifelong fan. I only see the upside. I'm glass half full of that sweet, sweet Gold Coast water. With a used dinger floating in it. Now, Russ 2468 sent us a poll, and it has, when you're doing a shoey, Cam, this one might be for you, should you lick the shoe first? And the options were yes, no, or only if you're Cam.
So I think yes has the win, right?
No, only if you're Cam is easily winning.
Ah.
Why did you lick the shoe?
Well, you're going to put your mouth on it anyway, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Just the tip?
Just the tip, yeah.
That's what she said.
Okay, anyway, look, Ben Latham on the Twitters, he sent us a bunch, to be frank, and there was one about each of us, and good on you, Ben. You obviously hate Supercoach, so you're probably not going to get the spot in the listener league, but he did send us a meme, and he created it himself, so good for him. And it was the Dane Rampy holding onto the goalpost, which I quite like, with the caption, Soy Boy. Dossie, how do you respond to these allegations?
So there's no surprises.
No. Above it says, the floor is players older than 22. Then Dane Rampy holding on the post, staying off the floor, and that's Soy Boy.
It is very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to say, they're both hilarious. But Stevie, I don't know about you selecting all the ones involving me as your favourites. They're always your favourites. What's going on?
There was
none
about me. Literally, the only one about me was the talk about Supercoach, and that was boring. But Supercoach is clearly the better draft format, so I don't know. Anyway, continuing on, since you had no rebuttal. Jaden Evans, waiting for GHS and Dom Tyson content with a popcorn gif.
Oh, yeah.
IT Crowd.
I better quickly explain the absence of Dom Tyson, actually, as well, from this pod. The takes just weren't as strong as I had sort of expected them to be. I think there was two segments where Cam did mention Dom Tyson, but you didn't actually go all in. I think that was more of an online sort of Twitter thing with Archie.
Yeah, that was with Archie, yeah.
It was more an online thing. It wasn't necessarily a strong take through the pod, so there was a little bit of content, but it just really wasn't... you did say it was just a late draft punt, basically, so you didn't dig yourself a hole there where I could bury you there, Cam.
Yeah, I certainly didn't triple down.
So it's just kind of mild. Like Cam's hair. He hasn't gone for the full grow. He hasn't gone for the shave off. He's just gone for this mild, shitty hairline.
It's usually fully shaved, yeah. And it's just I've been very lazy.
I know what you're talking about. Mickey Allen, he says he's looking forward to the Cam tribute hour, the You Suck show. Mickey, I don't mind that.
Yeah, shout out to Mickey.
Yeah. BJ on the Twitters, he gave us a You Suck meme. There was some sort of Olympic athlete or whatever, and his name was You Suck Kim or something. It was
Kim You Suck.
Kim You Suck.
Well, you know, we did suck. Jamie Radford, he traded Jeremy Cameron for Jesse Hogan in round 13, and he didn't work out for him. Sorry, Jamie, that's no good. Crispy Pigskins. He's got a bit of love for Jack Watts heading into drafts next year. Now, Jack Watts did start out the year reasonably well. He was one of my late round flyers. And he's already back at preseason. He wants to know where he's going to draft old swimming and tits.
He'd be a late round D4. You take a punt on him D4.
Yeah, I think with body of work, you're getting Jack Watts round 17 plus.
Yeah,
what's the injury he's coming off as well? Like it was pretty serious.
Dislocated ankle and something else with his foot.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad. There was photos of him today running, so he's obviously running, and that's probably a good sign. But I mean, and look, he's a veteran player, so I'm okay taking a flyer on him. Without games under his belt, yes, he performed okay in that role, and yes, Port have lost a player out of that back line, so I don't think it's a bad situation for Jack Watts specifically. Probably better in your super coach than your dream team, but he's a late round sort of guy. And Alex on the Twitters asked us top five chips. He did give us his top five chips. I won't go through them. If you really want to know them, you can go check them out. But boys, did you have any top five chip takes?
Yeah, mine was the sweet chili and sour cream. Had to be in the list, and it wasn't.
I'm a lime and black pepper guy. Kettle as well.
Yeah. I fucking hate the lime and black pepper. I reckon it's a horrendous take. But
I love it. I could... I don't, how that's do you one add of the few CCs?
That's one of the... Yeah, hey?
CCs are corn chips, by the way.
Yeah.
CCs, he had number three. Right. That's not a potato chip.
And see, this is one of the things I was saying is, like, you remember when Joel Selwood was the main player in the Geelong midfield, and it was his age 27 season, and he was freaking garbage? I shouldn't say he's garbage. He was fine. But every season around him where he's been really, really good, that's like corn chips. You know, when you cover your corn chips in dip or cheese and salsa and everything, like, it's amazing. But when it's on its own, it's just kind of like, yeah, you're fine.
Smith.
Because Joel Selwood's a mediocre player.
It's like a poor cracker.
No, prawn crackers, prawn crackers.
But you can have Smith. I like those chili chips as well.
Chili.
I got on those
awesome. Chili, and truffle.
Chili chips like Statesman was banging on about. I didn't like them originally, but Mrs. Fizz loves them, and you know, like, she likes hot spicy things in her gob, so eventually I got accustomed to the taste.
Does anyone
I like cheese and onion.
Does anyone ride for salt and vinegar? Because I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm in. Salt and vinegar.
Yeah, salt
and cheese. No, but every now and again, if I get it's, you know, when you get that urge to have a certain thing, it'll be like salt and vinegar chips. Mm. That'll be, and it's like an every now and again thing. Is the hashtag Gayshaw for Brayshaw too much?
Have we done all the gifts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was people who put in multiple gifts, so I didn't.
And the Rain Man did put in one with the Statesman every 5 seconds, saying, "Absolutely."
Yeah, I didn't think it was really all that funny, but I don't have an ego
was,
the size
if
of
it
a
was comma,
watermelon,
gentlemen.
Yeah, if it was gentlemen, that would have been funny.
Absolutely, gentlemen.
So who's getting a spot? Who's getting a spot?
Oh, yeah, right. Got to decide.
Guys.
I'm the two for DOS, which is the cane corns and the soy boy.
I like the cane corns corn. One. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I like the cane corns. I did like the soy boy. Can we give away two spots?
Sure.
Soy boy is like very idea. Good.
I liked both.
Well, you mentioned
I like
the show, so I already knew you thought that.
That's right.
You want to give away two?
Yeah, we'll give away two.
All right, Brennan, you get a spot, and Ben Latham, you get a spot. Message us.
Congratulations.
Well done, boys.
We've got it on tape.
One of those spots was Cam's. See you. Sorry, Cam.
All right, I reckon that's the You Suck show, but before we go, I have one final flashback. A recurring theme from listening back to the pods this preseason was the old fossil and his mispronunciation of player names.
Shown that Cam Sinclair can hold the fort. Cam Sinclair. If you're going Cam Sinclair and you're going him late, impact on Ed Langdon. Now Blakey is out. Blakey, and I think he takes the Blakey role. Dylan Shielders. Moving on to number 24, Jack Bowles from the Gold Coast. Does Dom Tyson get recruited?
Tom Dyson.
Tom Dyson.
It's a better name.
Ah, very well done, Doss.
Fuck, you could have held a whole show about that.
That was just the preseason as well.
I remember when it was just me and Jono, we went to meet the Statesman for the first time, and he was banging on for about 20 minutes about this player called Cade Stevens, and we were looking at
each other. Oh, that's right.
Who the fuck's Cade Stevens?
Times.
All right. Do you want to wrap
Come
it
on,
up
Dust,
there,
wrap
lads?
It up.
All right. There we go. That's the You Shuck Show. We'll see you next week. What have we got going on next week, Stevie?
We have got a keeper buy and sell. So something a little bit different coming up. You know, some keeper leagues go all year round. They don't have an open and shut trade period. And, of course, with the draft coming up, it's a good time to buy low and sell high on some players.
Awesome. All right, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.